going. All right, I have no reports. Do any committee members?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to congratulate Supervisor and Representative Nedweski and Representative McGuire on their award for child support. I think I was on the Human Services Committee the last budget cycle, not this one, where we approved policy, and then the full board approved policy on that. I think it went really well, and it just shows what we can do when we work together. So I think it was good work by the board to get that done. And that concludes my comment.
Very good. Any other comments from supervisors? Not seeing none, we'll move on to approval of the minutes of February 8th.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion or corrections? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, the first item is a initial resolution authorizing bonds of $33 million. And are you going to present that? Okay, go ahead.
So we have the ordering initial resolution for the purchase of the Human Services building. As we noted in our presentation last week, we expect that project will be completed in early 2026. We would move in at that time, and for the lease purchase agreement, we'll lease the building for 5 years. The purchase would occur in early 2031. The initial resolution has a life of 5 years. Based on the timeline I just laid out, this will expire prior to when we would need the funds to purchase the building. Within the 2024 budget, the board passed a capital improvement policy manual. One of the requirements identified in that policy manual was that multi-year legacy projects must obtain full funding approval through a separate initial resolution. We're bringing that forward now. You'll note that the last sentence of the initial resolution states that if this lapses prior to the purchase of the building, the county intends to extend this authorization by bringing this resolution before the county board for reapproval. We set this for an amount not to exceed $33 million. We do not expect to need to borrow that amount, but we wanted to aim a little high to cover ourselves. As you can tell, the costs have increased considerably, and we wanted to make sure we covered that. We have representatives here from Ehlers, Greg Johnson, to answer any questions regarding the debt issue. You'll notice there's no financial schedules because the plan to issue is debt is in 5 years or more, not now. We also have representatives here from Bear Development, Partners in Design, sorry, I didn't get a chance to take inventory, and CMA, as well as John, Rebecca, Frank, Chris, Barna, and myself to answer any questions you have on the project.
All right, discussion?
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move approval, but then a little discussion. We get it on the table.
Second.
All right, discussion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I support this policy. I think it's critically important that the board approve this policy. I want to say that the board, this last budget cycle, for this budget cycle, we adopted some fiscal policies so that we move a step towards best practices. And one of the fiscal policies that we heard discussed was that we when we adopt a project, we establish some approval of funding that project. So we now have a policy there, which we didn't have that previously. This project did not have funding behind it. The other thing is this project didn't go through the full five-year CIP cycle. I mean, as we see here, this is a major project, a $40 million project. In order to do a really good job of fiscal planning, normally you wouldn't bring something like this in 1 or 2 years before approving the project. So now we have policy that says if we were to do that in mid-five-year cycle, we would at least call it out. But there is other item I wanted to discuss and maybe ask some questions. And that was the costing, because part of this reason why we had this cost increase was because we missed some costs. And when I was here, I remember decades ago, we would fully cost our projects. I remember working on 4550. We were, at that time, we were state of the art. We were running, I can't remember the technical term, our architect, I'm sure would. We were running channels for cables for so we could properly implement technology. And we were putting all of that stuff into the costing before bringing it into the board for approval. This project, we missed some basic stuff. So I think we adopted policy that says that from on a material basis, if we were to bring in a project like this, it would be fully cost. We wouldn't present a partially baked project to the board for approval and then have to come in later and approve more. But so my question to the administration is, do we have policy on that?
Yeah, I can take that. So as part of that capital improvements policy manual that was passed with the last budget cycle, the budget resolution, there is also a requirement included in that policy that requires all capital projects to have all costs and including all the material parts of a project, whether it be a piece of equipment or a building or, you know, some other capital items. So that also is included in the new policy, and we'll be definitely doing that in the future.
Very good. With that, Chairman, I'll just make a brief comment, then I'll say thank you to the Finance Committee, because this last budget you supported these policies. I really think they're good policies and will help us. And also the full board approved them and didn't make any changes. So I think we're in a good position now to do better on these major projects. And with that, I'll yield.
Anyone else? Any other discussion? John?
Since the purchase isn't for, what, 7 years, are any in, you know, cost control or some projections for inflation increase in price baked into this, or are we going to have to, I mean, because it increased considerably in a couple of years, and I'm just wondering in 7 years what the cost might be for everything.
Keep in mind that the lease purchase agreement that was signed in 2022 explained that the purchase price would be based on a set amount for the building of $2.6 million, mm-hmm. plus the cost of the build-out that they're doing, the remodeling costs and the build-out. By the time we move into the building in 2026 to lease for 5 years, those costs are going to be set,
okay.
because all of that work will be done. So in that PowerPoint that we presented last week, and there's also a worksheet on your desk here on the table, those costs have been, I mean, the bid packages have gone out and come back. We know where those bids are at. We know what the projected costs are. We've built in a buffer of a contingency, which this project really didn't have a contingency because it's kind of a little backwards than a normal project. But we felt that it was better to help you understand the total cost to build in a contingency for future potential change orders. So that is also identified on that sheet. But again, by the time we move into the building, those costs will be set. We will know what we're purchasing the building for.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else? Their representatives, partners in design, Bear and Ehlers, do you have anything to add?
Here to answer any questions that you might have.
Anyone? All right, you're prepared to vote? All right, seeing no further discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? And we'll circulate the resolution. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is from the Sheriff, a grant for Homeland Security. Perhaps you could introduce yourself.
Yes, good evening, everyone. I'm Sergeant Colin Coltrip, I'm the Kenosha County Sheriff's Department Bomb Squad Commander. And tonight before you is a grant that we received from Wisconsin Emergency Management. It's a yearly one that we receive regularly. It varies in amount. But this year it'll be $15,000. It increased our revenue by $15,000 and increases expenditures by $15,000 as well. And doesn't require any general funds. So the levy will stay. And what we'll be using this for are safety equipment for all of our bomb techs.
Okay, discussion? Question?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Further discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. And are you going to do the second one? This is to increase civil process, or
no? I'm going to pass it on.
All right,
I'll delegate it up to Chip.
All right.
That's what you're there for.
Okay. Good evening, Captain Eric Klinkhammer. I'm here to present the increase of civil process fees. So, based on my research, we have not increased our civil process fees since approximately 2003 or 4. We've kind of fallen out of line with the other counties in the state. So the ask is for us to increase our charge fee for paper service from $40 to $60. And the standby time for writs of restitution, writs of assistance, and writs of replevin from $35 to $38.40. So all in all, the fees are a very modest increase over the amount of time since we have raised our fees. I have a list of some of the other counties' fees for paper service, and the majority of the counties are between Brown County charges $80 for a paper service. Some counties are still at 40 and 45. Eau Claire County is at 75. So us going to 60 puts us right about in the middle of where the rest of the counties, what the rest of the counties charge.
All right, discussion.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Further discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? It passes. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Next item is number 9, Human Services. Resolution requesting purchase of one pendular X10, what is it, spectrometers. All right.
Thank you. Good evening, Chairman, Supervisors, Youth and Governments. Carrie Foss, I'm the Director of the Division of Aging, Disability, and Behavioral Health. And I am here to talk about the resolution requesting the purchase of one Pendar spectrometer and two TruNarc analyzers with opioid settlement funds. This was unanimously approved by the settlement advisory panel, and then to Human Services as well. So the total amount requesting is $148,500.
Can you tell us what these things do?
I would love to delegate across the chain to once again Captain Klinkhammer.
Okay. So these are obviously expensive pieces of equipment that use light. So they're a spectrometer, and they use light and then the return of that light to the equipment to analyze the chemical makeup of a substance. So without having to open a package of a suspected narcotic, we can point this equipment at that product, and it will tell us what the makeup is of whatever is inside of it. So whether that be fentanyl, cocaine, explosives. So there's the more expensive unit does a wider range of things. The more expensive unit can be used for explosives as well as drugs. The TruNarc analyzers are used for drugs. So the reason we asked for this is because we've had several exposures over the last couple of years of employees to fentanyl. Some have gone to the hospital, some have experienced symptoms. Thankfully, nobody's had any serious reactions, but...
Well, I do believe didn't one of the staff had to have Narcan administered.
Oh, yep.
Someone in the jail, CO.
So we've all seen the videos of the staff all over the law enforcement all over the country opening a bag, which we don't do anymore, and breathing in that substance and passing out. Because fentanyl is that. What's the word?
Not passing out, ODing. They don't pass out. It's
going unconscious, I should say. From an OD from fentanyl.
Yeah.
So we're ordering three of these. Where are the three going to be housed? At the sheriff's department, or at one at the jail, or what's the plan?
Yes, the plan, as I heard from Captain Baranis and Sheriff Zerner, is that there's going to be one unit that is going to stay at the Highway H when individuals come in for search while they're being processed, and two will be available for patrol. So on the road, and this will be utilized for the Kenosha Sheriff's Department exclusively.
Thank you.
This is being paid from our opioid settlement
as
well?
Yes, sir.
Motion to approve.
All right, is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? Tim?
Does that require clear bags, or does it work through colored bags?
That's a good question. I'm not sure.
They'll work through color. So even if you have a glass bottle and it's like a brown glass bottle,
cool.
You'll be able to shoot it through the glass and it'll only pick up the material inside the bottle.
Do these units require calibration on a periodic basis?
When we receive the quotes for these, there is a portion of training and initial setup.
But the calibration, usually equipment like this, you know, every 6 months or a year, it needs to be calibrated to make sure it's functioning correctly.
I don't know.
Do you have the quotes, Captain?
Yep. I don't have the specifications.
Do we know what that might cost and how would that be covered? Is that just something that we're going to have to come up with down the road?
That's an excellent question.
I don't know.
Okay.
Sorry.
I can jump in. So we had a training with this down in Chicago from the bomb perspective of everything, and they'll be able to upload or download new software onto each of these. So it's kind of like a plug-and-play system, but to kind of touch further on your question is, how do we test to make sure that what our physical model are is accurate or not? That would have to be brought into, either sent into a lab, and then they would ship it back to us. Usually they're reasonable and work with us, so that it could be a free thing, because they want to make sure their product is accurate, since it's one of the only ones out there.
Could we find out and let us know, what the plan is? That would be great.
Absolutely. I do know that the items or the quotes that we presented as part of the recommendation to the county executive, that all of these units do come with a 3-year warranty. Okay.
I like these things, so I'm not trying to be negative. I just want to plan.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, further discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? It passes. Thank you. The next item is 10, Public Works. Acceptance of expenditure of LRIP funds and reapportionment of Highway K funds to something else.
To something else.
That's all right.
Good summary. So this is a resolution that authorizes the acceptance and expenditure of LRIP funding. This will be for the reappropriation of funds from Highway K for the reconditioning of Highway L between Green Bay Road, Highway 31, and 30th Avenue. So the LRIP money that has already been awarded is $971,470. The project is estimated to cost roughly $1.9 million, which would mean that we're going to reappropriate $928,530. The reason that this project was picked is because of the delay in the funding in which we didn't budget for it in this most recent budget of 2024. There's still funds left available, and with the casino possibly incoming, that could be put on a hold to possibly, if there's any redesign or anything, spend money and then have to redo. So it becomes the perfect project to otherwise utilize these funds. And then come the 2024 budget process for 2025, we would reevaluate what bonding needs we would need for Highway K.
All right, very good. Any discussion, John?
Since it's only 3 months into the year, how do you know for sure that we're not going to get the federal money for the Highway K project? Have you already talked to the powers that be on that, and they said you're definitely not getting it? We're definitely not getting the money, or what?
That's a good question. Clement would be better to answer that. I don't know the timeline in which they review each process of the funding. If they were to do that, there's not enough money to do the phase of that second phase of Highway K anyways right now.
Just even if you get federal money, is that what you're saying?
I mean, if we got it, we would have to come back to you for another budget resolution to have the 20%. It's usually 80-20 where they fund 80, we come up with the 20.
Mm-hmm.
What's there, I don't believe, would cover the 20%. So we would have to come to you asking for additional funds.
Okay.
Or we would have to pull it from a different project in order to do it.
So whatever was proposed in 2024 for Highway K is going to be pushed to 2025 or the next budget?
There was nothing put into 2024.
Okay, that's right, because they're doing what?
We didn't get awarded the funds for that, so okay. We simply didn't budget for it because there wasn't going to be the federal reimbursement for it. Highway W was going to be the other project, but that also didn't get funded because of the tricolor bats, which we'll talk about even later. So the only projects really going on right now are some of the punch list items of some of the projects, and then there's other LRIP of Highway E and Highway H.
Okay.
That's going on.
Okay. Gays in my district, so I had to ask.
I can definitely get an answer on when we should receive some type of notification of award for the Highway K.
Yeah, that would be nice. Appreciate it. Okay, thanks.
Anything further? Is there a motion? Oh, John?
Speaking of Highway K, how far was that going to go out, clear to Paddock Lake? Or?
Phase two was going to go to 115th Ave, which is right around that Harley-Davidson Trailer Park area. Phase three...
So that's way off.
Yeah, was going past where that casino would go. I don't know. I can't remember how far down that one was set to go.
No more questions.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Move approval.
Second.
All right. Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passed. Thank you. All right, the next item, you're going to do the next item as well, the public court authorizing the lease. That's John Moyer.
John.
Right, the lease of KC property on 85th Street. Square deal.
Yes, thank you, Chair.
All right.
Supervisors, taking governance. This resolution might be familiar because we did the same thing a couple of years ago. It's a lot that we own on the, let me get this right, the current Human Services building. It would be the northeast corner. We own a lot that is grassy, and Square Deal Trees has sold Christmas trees there for a number of years. I was told in the neighborhood of 30 years. Prior to us owning it, they had an arrangement with Mr. Oatsfall, I think is the prior owner. This is essentially, because of the fact that the Human Services building project is stretching out a little bit, taking a little longer than maybe we initially thought, this is asking for another lease to be agreed to, same amount of rent we received last time, which was $250. They sell trees for about a month and a half, and then they take everything away. The lease does require them to return the property to the condition it was in when they arrived. And I can finally additionally say that I did talk to Bear Realty about this because this does affect, you know, the property that ultimately becomes theirs, and they are okay with it. It does allow for one renewal if we're still on the property in 2025, Christmas time. So I'm asking for approval of the lease on the corner of Sheridan and I think it's 85th Street.
All right, discussion.
Move approval.
Second.
Further discussion, Tim?
What happens? Do they have to come back before us if it renews, or is this an automatic renewal?
It's an automatic renewal. If they elect, they have to let me know that,
yeah,
that they want to do it.
That's awesome.
And they have to pay that. And also, I'm gonna check with Bear again just to make sure, but I don't anticipate that.
Yeah, I was going to propose something to make it more automatic.
Oh, okay. It's perfect. Fairly automatic.
Sounds good.
Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
We are on number 12, authorizing the sale CTHF project remnant.
Thank you.
You, John.
That's me again. Yes, I'm on the next one as well. Again, this is going to seem somewhat like deja vu all over again, because we did a prior resolution like this with a smaller piece of land that was a Highway F remnant, also involving Donna Caro. This is authorizing a sale of that parcel. This one, parcel on the map, if you see the map that was attached, it's parcel B. There was an amount that was determined by an appraisal from Pitts Brothers, $190,000, I believe, $400,000. I'll get it wrong. And so that is what we are asking for. There was a right of first refusal signed some time ago when the Highway F project began, and Donna Caro did want to exercise that right, and so I'm asking for approval pursuant to the appraisal and the earlier approval to market these properties to allow this sale on that agreed upon price.
How big is this one?
It's a good question. Several acres.
Oh,
I think it's 5.78 acres.
What parcel is it?
It's B, and it's right on.
Oh,
highway,
okay. It's the blue one.
It's got left 1, 2, and 3. I mean, I don't see B on here.
It's here.
John,
it would be
John,
lot one.
Look up there.
Yeah, on that one, it's B. It would be lot one on the one you're looking at. It's
okay.
Contiguous to
the county has no use for this, I guess.
Correct.
Yeah.
Second. Further discussion? This is consistent with the appraisal.
It is.
Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes.
Thank you. And then
the next one is another remnant to Lance and Abby Gehring.
Correct, yes, Gehring. This is on the map, parcel D. It's on the other side of Highway F and a little bit further, I believe, to the west. Again, the same applies here. There was a right of first refusal. Lance and Abby Gehring had that right. The appraised amount was $153,700. And they have exercised that right of refusal that they signed an agreement with the county some time ago. And this one is, I believe, 3.07 acres. Seeking approval of that price of $153,700, which again is an appraised amount from the Pitts Brothers, and in accord with the right of first refusal and the prior approval by the board to market these properties, I'm asking for this one to be allowed for sale as well.
Discussion?
Move approval.
Is there a second?
Second.
Further discussion on the sale? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, next one is Public Works. Wisconsin Energy's permanent easement request for Brookside.
Hi, Mr. Frank. Chairman. Frank Martinelli, project manager from facilities. So this easement, we're replacing a generator at Brookside. It's the original generator to the building. It only does life safety. We're replacing it with a new generator that'll back up the entire building. But as part of that process, Lee Energies needs to install, replace the current transformer and put in a new transformer. The new transformer is going to be in a new location. So we needed a new easement going to that location. From the old transformer location, going into the building, Also, once all of this is surveyed and put in with the new transformer, they'll give up the old easement going to the building for the old service. That's it.
All right, discussion.
Move to approve.
Second. Any further discussion? And then all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. All right. Next is another Public Works request for approval of a plat and relocation order for County CTH. Right.
Yeah, actually for Highway W. This is a part of the Highway W project from State Line to Highway C. As part of that project, right-of-way will need to be required. Per the requirements, anytime any real estate or right-of-way is needed to be purchased, the plat and authorization needs to go through finance and the board, and that is why we are here. I will say this project was pushed off, obviously, because of the tricolored bats. We don't have funding for it. Clement was hopeful that he would be able to persuade the state into allowing us to proceed, even though the tricolored bat situation has not been completed. He succeeded in that. Unfortunately, there's not enough funding to go forth on actually buying the right-of-way at this time. He put through the resolution, so in case we were able to find the funding, we would be able to do that. However, this is going to need to be done, whether it's now or in 2025, so we decided to keep it here. But I just wanted to make everybody aware that the purchasing of it would not happen until 2025, and it would be included in that 2025 budget process.
You said tricolored bat?
Is that what it's called?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. That's right. It's an endangered species that they found one of. So it screwed everything up. Really.
Like can you explain what
for do you
no okay I'm just like bat okay
yeah it has something to do with the endangered species and a habitat that it's been located by, so the project was put as a halt until they could figure out some type of solution or situation regarding that.
So how are the bats doing?
I have no idea. Apparently,
okay,
well,
since we're moving ahead.
The state said go ahead and do it,
okay.
So I don't
know. Okay.
All right, so any other discussion here?
This is just approving the plat, not, is it authorizing spending? Or what is it doing?
They threw it in here as authorizing the plat and authorizing the highway commissioner to acquire the necessary highway right-of-way required. I guess I could defer to you. When the actual sale prices come across, does that need to also come to the board, or would this encumber all of that?
Sale for acquisition.
When we were to buy the right-of-way on Highway W.
Normally, any real estate acquisition.
But does this authorize the acquisition? The wording in it?
Let me see.
There's no mention of cost.
No. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at.
Yeah, so I'm wondering.
And there's no budget of that.
Okay. That's what I'm thinking, too.
There's usually got to be a number attached for it to be approved. I don't
all right.
It said, but it says, it and also authorize the highway commissioner to acquire the necessary right-of-way required to complete the project. So, in my mind, that means...
Sounds like he's buying it.
Uh-huh.
That should be struck.
Okay, can I have a motion? I'd like to make a motion to strike and also authorize the highway commissioner to acquire the necessary right-of-way required to complete the project.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion on that?
So, in this case, it's just to approve the plat then, with this language.
And that works for me, because again, this won't be happening until 2025.
Right. Okay,
but at least
so
the plat will be approved. Yeah, we can come back.
Okay.
It'll be a part of the budget process.
That's fine.
In 2025.
The budget process.
All right, further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Approved.
That
was approved amendment.
That's right.
Yeah.
Any further on the discussion on the merits of the motion? Seeing none, there is a motion on the floor. No other discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. Thank you. All right, so there's, who's going to do the 16?
I am.
Oh, okay. All right, Public Works accepting Monsanto settlement.
Thank you. Good evening. There's a resolution before you that's essentially asking for three things. It's to accept settlement funds that we received as a result of a class action lawsuit, place it in a separate interest-bearing account, and approve possible expenditure of funds on three separate projects in the amount of $431,300. First, I'll give a little bit of background on the settlement funds and how we got this. It's not often that Kenosha County gets a check in the amount of $969,080 without any idea that that's coming, but that's what happened in this case. We received a call from the clerk's office sometime last spring. They had received a check almost in the amount of $1 million. We started doing a little bit of investigation. It turns out that was as a result of a class action lawsuit that was filed in California in 2016. It was the city of Long Beach, along with a number of other plaintiffs, filed a class action lawsuit against Monsanto Company and a number of other defendants. It related to the PCBs, polychlorinated biphenyls, which I'm not sure if I'm saying that correctly, the man-made chemical compounds believed to be an environmental contaminant. The underlying basis for the lawsuit was that the defendants had manufactured and sold PCB chemicals to the public. Knowing they were toxic and could cause harm, they sought to hold these defendants liable for failing to notify entities of the potential harm and take any action. I've included, along with the resolution, a memo that the WCA put together, which is just really a good overview of the litigation, the background, the defendants, and all of that. The way that the class action was situated, where they identified potential class members, which were, you know, people who could possibly have been areas that could be exposed to these PCBs, and if you were identified as a member of the class, you were considered part of the class unless you opted out of the class. Kenosha County did not opt out of it. We couldn't really find any record of where that notice went, so like I said, we did not opt out of it, and then as a result, we were a part of the class. The defendants eventually agreed to resolve the dispute by paying $550 million dollars to be distributed to about 2,500 initial class members across the United States. And again, that's kind of the description in the WCA memo. So we get the check for $969,000, a little bit more. We did some background. We worked with the WCA. We spent a fair amount of time trying to sort of catch up on the litigation and what was at play and what happened and what was the orders and what are the requirements. So importantly, and we got verification, the WCA, I think it's the middle. Are there specific requirements on how these funds have to be used? The answer is no, there's no legal requirement. There's no orders that say that certain things have to be done. There's a general statement in the settlement documents, in the orders, that say that the settlement class members should use it for restitution and remediation, including mitigation of contaminated property, stormwater, and stormwater systems. However, there weren't any further orders or requirements in how this settlement should be used. The WCA had advised counties to look to any orders or requirements from the DNR or the EPA to see whether or not there were any requirements, and that's kind of what we started to do after we received the funds. We worked closely with the WCA, we worked with planning and development, and we did a couple of different things. We wanted to say, did we have any issues with contaminated waterways or properties that we were aware of? Any orders, for remediation, anything like that? We were told that there were none that we were aware of. The WCA spent some time sort of working with the DNR, making sure they were up to speed. I think we had a conference call in December of last year where we got sort of word from WCA and there were other counties on the call that sort of provided some assurances that the DNR was not going to take any corrective actions. They weren't going to say, okay, any counties that receive this money, you now have to do X because of these issues. So they said that as far as they were concerned, counties had a great deal of discretion, municipalities. I think there were, a number, and that's in the memo as well that the WCA put out, a number of counties and municipalities that got settlement funds, some bigger, some smaller, some was monitoring funds. We got things related to TDML funds, total daily maximum loads. So there were different categories of settlement funds. Some got smaller amounts, but I think there was a number of municipalities in Wisconsin that got that. So then we worked with planning and development. Like I said, they verified they weren't aware of any specific orders or remediation. And then we've worked with Public Works Administration, Planning and Development, you know, the administration, about how do we, what do we do with this money? What are some uses? How do we want to handle it? What's being proposed, like I said, is first the county board has to authorize the acceptance of the fund. We have to, you know, the money, the settlement funds. This is the amount we're getting. We have to formally accept it. It's been proposed putting it in a, and Patty and Finance can speak more to this, about putting it in a separate interest-bearing account, you know, so that the interest does not go into the general fund and can be used, or the amounts can be calculated to use more specifically towards like environmental contamination remediation efforts. So that's kind of the second part, is once we take it, where should we put it? Where should this money be? And I think the idea was to sort of have it so that there is some interest that's being generated. We can use that for the types of purposes that the settlement sort of addressed. Again, very broad, very general. Address contamination, remediation, environmental concerns. But there is no specific order that says we have to do X, we have to do, you know, Y or Z. We have some discretion on that. And then there was some thought about some very specific projects that is, that the county has been faced with, that they've been dealing with, that do pose environmental concerns, remediation effort expenses, and those are set forth in the resolution. I think it was the Hillside Hardware, the Roosevelt Auto Body, Peoria Park, which they refer to as Orange Ooze, and an expected cost of kind of what it's going to take. We're in various phases of environmental studies, demolition, remediation efforts for these very three specific projects that we've been dealing with for some time. So, the, like I said, the estimated, you know, cost of doing remediation efforts and demolition and dealing with contaminated issues is about $431,000. So what we're asking, like I said, this committee to do right now is to formally accept the settlement funds, to put it in a separate interest-bearing account, and then approve spending of up to $431,000 for the projects that have been specifically set forth in the resolution. It also says in there any future spending, you know, this money, interest, funds like that, anything beyond that would have to come back to the board, either by way of resolution or future budgets would have to address what is this money generating, what are the projects doing, that would be addressed in any future resolutions. So I'm happy to answer questions. Patty can answer questions about the fund, and I made John stick around so he can talk about the specific projects that have been identified. So, yeah.
Are these three projects, Hillside Hardware, Roosevelt Auto Body, and Peoria Park, are they owned by the county?
So right now, we're in the process of taking a tax deed on Hillside Hardware, so we don't presently own it, but we're on the verge of taking that, and we've been in discussions with the city about that, potentially taking it over and being a partner in that mediation. Roosevelt Body Shop, we also do not yet own it. It's still eligible for a tax deed, and we can take that tax deed, you know, at any time we decide to move forward with that. With regard to the Orange Ooze or the Peoria Park site, county does own a number of parcels there. It's residential lots, and so there's multiple parcels involved. And there's also a road, a right-of-way that is owned by the city that is actually more the epicenter of the contamination on that site. But the answer to your question is we own the majority of the Peoria Park parcels, and we could take, I think, four more that we do not own that are in that, along that right of way.
Dave. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have two questions. One is, once these are cleaned up, is there, would there any, be any restriction on the type of use? I mean, would they be clean enough to put residential on, or?
Yeah, let's start with the Peoria Park one, because that's in a residential area. We've been in, you know, this has been going on for years. The city had done a lot of work on that site in even like, I want to say the 1980s or 90s. And we've done some testing. We've done a phase one, and there's been some phase two type of borings and things done. It looks like, as I say, the epicenter of the contamination is this little, it's like a cul-de-sac that was platted. That's the worst, and then there's a couple other locations as well on some of the residential lots that we do not own. We've talked to the DNR, and it looks like the southerly portion of that that whole that property, which is the two biggest parcels, the Brush parcel, and I think Brush is broken into two, but that could be residential. That could be made in, say, multifamily or what have you, single family duplexes. It's some of the other area closer to that right of way, that road that was supposed to be put in. Those, it's hard to say at this point. If we removed all the soil and there was a dumping that occurred, some fill that occurred there. If we went down and dug all that out, removed it, then we could probably refill it with clean fill, and then it could be utilized for residential. The other option that we were given by the DNR discussing it was capping it with some kind of concrete, or just leaving it, natural. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, what I'm looking at is, it's nice to get these properties back on the tax rolls, but if we end up just leaving it vacant, then that doesn't really achieve the purpose, but at least it's cleaned up, so.
With regard to the other two, the plan would be to remediate them, and I don't think what we found at Hillside is not so severe that it looks like it's unusable. It looks like the big cost there is the demolition of that building. And I don't think there's such severe contamination that it couldn't be utilized again in a similar, whether it be a storefront or potentially residential property. And Roosevelt Body Shop, we know a little bit less about because we haven't really done much study.
Right.
And then Exhibit B has some of just the projected cost with those three properties attached to the resolution.
The second question is, how is the fund to be set up?
So, as typical within the county, we don't open a separate checking account and put these funds in there. The intent is the amount that will be expended will remain within the LGIP until it's expended. The component of about $500,000 that's not being utilized by this resolution, we will be investing in Dana investments, which will get a higher rate of return. They are going to identify it as a subaccount of our normal, so we can track those earnings a little bit more clearly, but that's how that will be.
Will they be in Public Works, or is just which department will the fund be under?
It will not be under Public Works. It is a component of the general fund, but not unassigned.
Oh, okay.
We've spoken with the auditor three times. Barna tried really hard to make it unassigned, but the auditor was not hearing that because there is, even though it's in the spirit of and it's not restricted, however, it is assigned. So
I get it.
So that's where the funds are.
Good. That answered my questions. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Tim?
Would it be possible to use some of this other money for the Pike River project? Are you familiar with that?
Yes. Okay. I mean, and again, I can't say specifically what that would be. I would say as long as the general sort of purpose, would be some type of remediation, contamination, environmental, and I think we're going to have a lot of discretion as to what that is.
There's silt coming down.
Yeah. I would think so, but okay. Again, I think that would probably depend on the specifics of what is being proposed and all of that, and then we would have to, anything
sure
like that would have to come back
this.
To the board and
sort
of say, this is the project, this is what we use, the audit, we'd have to be comfortable using it, but it sounds like they could, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? All right, there's a resolution on the floor.
Move to approve.
Second.
And further discussion on it? Seeing that, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And that passes. We're now at number 17, tax deed parcel.
We have an aerial sit in. Ariel's the one in my office that is working with the tax deed properties.
Yay!
She has like my old job. Before I go on, hello everyone. It's nice to see you all.
Hi.
And this is Ariel, my deputy clerk. As we discussed last time I was in here, we were basing the prices of the properties on the appraisal based on the changes in the tax deed law. and that we don't really get to make the decision of what the price of the properties should be, which is what we used to do when I would come before you. I'd make a suggestion, tell you what's owed, we'd talk about the value, come up with a price, and do it that way. That process is pretty much no longer there. It's the law is changing. I think it's still changing, correct?
Interpreted.
Yeah. So what we did is, last time I was here, we did the auction on the appraised prices, and you all should have that sheet right there. So you're able to see we did very well. The properties sold for most of them, well, they all sold for more than what they were appraised. Unfortunately, the county doesn't get to keep any money. We only get to keep the taxes owed to us and the cost of maintaining the property while we have it or get it ready to sell. So this was our first one of doing it this way, and we have three properties that didn't sell. So as we agreed last time, we were lowering them each by 10%, and they'll be in this next auction at that lower rate. Inside your packet includes the appraisals. I'm not sure if you looked through it or if you guys have any questions. Like I said, we are just starting the opening bid at the appraised price and see what happens from there.
You're asking our approval that
I'm just reduce. Because we're planning an auction for May 1st, mm-hmm. and so I want to. It's maybe this is just more informative of where we're at with the tax deed process and the changes that have gone on with it. We want to plan another auction for May 1st, and it will be these properties that are listed here. We are still working on a process of the aftermath of an auction, of how to deal with the finances and then having to return the money to the previous owners. But I just wanted to come before you, let you know that what happened at the last auction and that we're planning to have another one and get these properties back on the tax roll. And then if you guys had any questions about how it went, the process.
Discussion, Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So this page that we have displayed, you're not asking for approval?
No, because I think
we already approved this, right?
Well, we've approved the fact that we have to base the price on the appraisal.
The process is approved, so you don't have to keep bringing these back in for approval, right?
That is correct.
And the page before that where we listed where there were the three that weren't sold, mm-hmm. it looked like it worked pretty good. Mm-hmm. It looked like the process we established worked.
Yes, I was actually, I knew that the properties would sell, but I was shocked that they sold for what they did, and we had as many bids as we did. They mostly are all in bad shape, but some of the motivation behind some of the higher overbids were people who lived next door to that property, mm-hmm. they knew that property, they wanted that property, and they didn't want anybody else to have it. Mm-hmm. And wouldn't you say that was kind of the motivation, yeah. like it was worth it to them?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the bid, I'm sorry.
And then you alluded to having to then settle this up and return money to an...
We have to figure out that whole process and what it all entails, but for now the money is in the profit and loss account, we are keeping a spreadsheet of the expenses, and the key will be to locate the owner, because generally we don't have an address for most people. That's why the mail all gets returned, or their last address was the address of that property.
Do you have a rough idea of, I mean, if we could find them all and return all of the money, how much we would pay back?
I don't have that figured out right now.
That'd be interesting to know that.
Yeah, I mean, we have a breakdown of what
which I suppose we should have gotten that for you, is the breakdown of what went back to the county.
That would be
good information for you guys to have. And I had provided that previously.
We're on the same page. If you can let finance know, and then they can give it to us at a future meeting.
Sure.
And that's ideal. Thank you.
All right. John.
I can say that the balance of that account is 900, between 900 and a million.
In the black?
In the black.
It's Vernon wanted to pull that into the side.
I think we caught that. So wait a minute. That's not ours at all. Under the impression that potentially that if we couldn't find the previous owners, then at some point it would become ours, but that's not. Yeah. It now has to go in the unclaimed fund.
At the state.
Wow. Yeah.
So that would be my other question. Moving forward, we can supply just reports on the auctions and the status without me having, or Ariel, either one of us having to come to the board unless you want us to come to, or the committee, but just provide reports on the status of the sales and the balances, like what you're talking about, how much maybe got paid back to the county, and then what is the remaining part without actually having to take up your time.
Would you rather him come, or do you want a written report?
Report's good with me.
If you're not happy with the report and you want me to come, then I'll come. But I think, you know, we'll still provide you the information of what we're doing. Same with the sales packet and what the properties are getting appraised at.
Yeah. Tim.
For procedure, it says sold, what properties was sold over the counter. How does that work? So I understand that.
Do you want to tell them, because you dealt with it?
So basically, we just went around to the properties, and somebody that was across the street said that they were interested in the property. And so once it doesn't sell at the auction, it's available over the counter. Okay. They if they have the money, they have to bring it in that day. As long as their bid is the minimum appraisal price at that time, we take it's theirs, and then we just go through the process that way.
So somebody else could come buy these other three properties.
Correct.
If they want.
Yep, if it's before the next auction, technically they're still over the counter.
Yeah, but
that's
a new twist to it that I didn't understand. So great.
Yeah, so if someone were to come, they would sell for the 87, like the third one on the list would sell for the $87,000 if they came before we had the auction, but then it's going into the auction at $78,300 because we're reducing it by 10%.
All right, okay. That's all. Thank
that's
you.
That's it.
I didn't see the bid prices are well over.
Yeah, well, housing is short.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, but interest rates are high.
Help us.
Yeah, I know. That's a problem.
John, we just almost packed these Hispanic Leagues. Goodbye.
So the audit of the bills has been completed. Are there any reports from Human Resources?
Nothing from Human Resources.
All right. Finance, go ahead.
I have a general fund year-end forecast. The second to last one. Next month we'll be bringing a carryover closeout resolution. So directing your attention to the bottom box, you can see that the dollar amount of our expected unassigned general fund balance increased from last month from just over $100,000 to $1.7 million. The reason for that is a large jump in the projection for what Human Services surplus will be. This will be for CCS revenue, which is Comprehensive Community Services revenue. The reason for the large surplus in that revenue line item was that at one time there was a 30% cap on what our reimbursable expenses were. The state, we believe, raised or eliminated that cap because there were additional surplus funds that they weren't able to disperse based on the original terms. And as a result of that, we received a couple million dollars more than what we were expecting.
Could you say that again? Sorry, Mark.
Sure. The last part or the whole thing?
Say the how we generated the surplus. Sorry, Mr. Chairman. Part of it I couldn't hear. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
So the comprehensive community services revenue line item. So this is a revenue that both Children and Family Services Department and DADS are both grant revenues that they draw down their expenditures from. Normally that would be capped at 30% of the submitted expenditures. As a result of that fund at the state having more surplus funds in it, they lifted that cap. And so that resulted in us being able to receive that additional funding. It was right around last month when I got the report is when we found that out. Human Services wanted to make sure that, first of all, that it was legitimate dollars, and secondly, that they wouldn't claw it back, saying that was a mistake or something. So that's why I didn't include it in last month's estimate. But
while I was on that item, can I ask a couple more questions? Sorry.
Sure.
So is this something that they would look at? This is a result of the big surplus the state had, it looks like. And I'm guessing that we'll probably revert back to the cap. It's not something that was eliminated. It's they still keep that cap at the state level? Or
At this point, we think that it will revert back to the normal.
Is it possible that we could have that cap lifted also for this year, 2024?
I don't know, but we can see if we can find out. I know that the budgeting of that revenue is very difficult because we know to what dollar amount that we will receive based on the cap, and over and above that, from year to year.
I remember this. But if the cap would be lifted this year, then that also would tie into forecasting for this year.
It would, yes.
So that's my question. Thank you.
John? We didn't get any interest revenue in the general fund for February.
Okay, yep, I'm going to get to that the next one.
That's not good.
So last month, I recorded $2.9 million. As you can see in the treasure revenue surplus, that included the general fund investment interest revenue at that time. So what I did this month was broke out the general fund investment interest revenue separately, because I believe it deserves its own line. Specifically to that point, it's a material enough that it deserves its own line.
Okay.
The treasure revenue surplus then only includes their normal revenue accounts and this net unrealized gain on investments. So if you remember last year, unfortunately, with the rising interest rates, we were having some of our investments fall off, that were lower dollar amount interest rates. And because of that, they were unrealized losses had we had to liquidate those. Last year, that was a total of $1.3 million. So we had to reflect that on in 2022 year-end financials as a unrealized loss, and it reduced the general fund by that dollar amount. This year it flipped to a unrealized gain of $800,000. So that's included in that $557,000. That's why that's broken out separately.
So we did get interest on February.
We did.
Okay.
That interest is $2.7 million, and if you're interested, we budgeted for 2024 about $2.2-$2.3 million of that. So.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I wanted to talk on that point. So I remember during the budget we talked about this revenue, and I think the committee made a motion to reduce property tax levy and increase this revenue.
They did.
Am I correct? So I'm correct on that, and yes. Part of it tied into what's happening here. Part of it tied into the fact that instead of doing it on a GAAP basis, we do it on a cash basis, but now we're seeing on a GAAP and cash basis, we're having big surpluses. So the committee was pretty safe in cutting taxes during the 2024 budget. We, you know, we'll definitely, it looks like we'll definitely realize even better than what we cut.
Yes. Knock on wood, I believe so.
Knock on wood. Mm-hmm. So, very good. I think that's my question.
All right. Anything further?
The next line item has to do with, so we have final or results for our three internal service and insurance funds. So workers' compensation surplus ended the year at $732,000 surplus. I'll speak to that afterwards. We talked about the treasurer revenue. The tax delinquency reserves flipped from a deficit to a surplus with this estimate. So that's to the positive, $180,000. And the last one, public works operating surplus, we're getting toward the tail end, and we can see the finish line when it comes to kind of the finalization of expenditures, and looks like they're going to have a little larger surplus for public works overall. On the next section, on the items that would decrease the general fund, the deficits in the sheriff's department increased a little bit, but now these are pretty much final numbers. As I've reported in other months, the deficits on the expenditure side were from overtime, mainly from corrections, pharmaceuticals, inmate medical, and groceries. For those non-variable type expenditures, we backfilled roughly half of those deficits in 2023 and 2024's budget, so that should minimize the effect of that. On the revenue side, the $1.4 million, a little more than half had to do with the federal inmate revenue, about $770,000 of that. So some update on that front. We submitted a request to the federal marshals to increase their daily rate from $70. When we did the analysis, it actually showed that the rate with all costs in would be $140 a day, exactly double of what we're actually getting. They acknowledged receipt of our form submission, and they said that they would they didn't give a timetable on when they would give us a response back of what they will do with that request.
I thought you were done. Sorry.
Nope. I was going to say one more piece to that. The other thing that was discussed during budget hearings was an analysis of variable and sunk costs in the first quarter. I spoke to the finance person at Sheriff's Department, Angela, and she says she's working through that, and for next month, we'll have that discussion. The finance committee for next month.
Okay.
So on this item, my recall is we made adjustment for this in the 2024 budget.
We did. Well, for both of these, and the other revenue had to do with the state reimbursement of parolees.
Okay.
So of this $1.7 million, roughly half of that we backfilled in the 2024 budget. So, right.
So we shouldn't see this kind of a deficit.
Correct. Knock on wood. Nothing else happens.
That's my question. Thank you.
The next one, the sales tax revenue, even though it didn't change much, I did want to state that my optimism was rewarded. Last month I reported a projected $800,000 deficit there, hoping that December sales tax would be good, and it was. It was 2.3. It was the highest month we've ever received in Kenosha County history. So my optimism was rewarded with coming in, and my projection then was pretty close with how it ended up. Health insurance deficit with the final calculations of the numbers came in just a little bit more than what I expected last month. But if you look at that one and the last one, the liability insurance, going from 50 to 210, I'll have to point out that between the three insurances, we were within $50,000 on a $25, $26 million budget. So, I mean, we couldn't have done much better than budgeting this with everything. It worked out well. The line, the circuit court, county clerk, register of deeds, revenue deficit. The line is through circuit court and county clerk. So what I did there was the circuit court surplus that was, I should say the surplus that was in circuit court had to do with investment revenue. So now that's up in the general fund investment revenue line, all in. And basically now with circuit court and county clerk basically breaking even, the deficit that is most appropriate to show there is the revenue deficit for register of deeds. That has to do with the recording of deeds and has to do with the real estate market. So with that deficit of 500 some thousand, we backfilled up roughly half of that for the 2024 budget. So hopefully that'll, at a minimum, that will minimize that amount. So in total, we're at 1.7 as of this month. Puts us 2% on. I would point out that the general fund expenditures line item there is a projected number. So with next month's final year-end report, we'll have that final number as well. So all that will be finalized and reported next month. With that, I'll take any other additional questions.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. When this committee worked on the budget, the 2023 budget, we cut quite a bit. We cut taxes quite a bit. I think it was over half a million, between a half a million to a million. I forget the exact number. At least half a million, right, Barna?
Yeah.
And it looks like we were judicious. We made amendments to the proposed budget, cut taxes. And we are going to actually come in the black somewhat. So we were able to cut taxes and still perform very well, maintaining our AAA, at least as far as this benchmark. So I am pleased that it looks like what the administration did and what the committee did is good. I know in my district, I saw taxes get cut, so I was happy with that over the 2 years that I served here. And then one other thing we did is we saw good numbers come in on Brookside, and in Human Services Committee, and then this committee ultimately approved it, as we cut about a quarter million out of a food contract, and that and also discussing in Human Services, that cut helped them balance the Brookside budget. So as we're getting to year end, we cut taxes and still performed well financially. So am I reading this correctly?
That is a good characterization. Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. I yield.
Further questions, discussion? Anything else?
Well, I would just reiterate what Barna said. Next month, we'll bring forward the carryover closeout resolution. So that's a rather extensive presentation, but you've all seen that before. So we're working through all the final gifts now.
Look forward to it.
can't wait.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't
close out resolutions,
the meeting,
boy,
unless there's something further from anyone.
We'll move adjournment if you're ready.
Second.
Yes. All those in favor say aye.
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 Close. Aye. We're early.
All right. Plenty of time to close your.
Yes. Plenty of time to find your way over there.